people. It's your boy, the host with the most. I do not break a boast. And I'm coming to you guys live from Ghost to Ghost. It's your boy, I'm Chris Adam One. And welcome to another fabulous rendition of Everybody Hates Chris Podcast. Everybody Hates Chris Podcast is now featured on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast indulgement. Feel free, be sure to subscribe. Share it with your friends, family, as well as your followers. Let's get this podcast lit in the podcast algorithm. You heard me. Now let's chop it up and chop in to a new episode one. Okay, what's up, guys? Welcome to another lit episode from your boy. I'm Chris Dom One. First order of business, first thing I want to talk about is, and I did this on my ex account. I did a poll, I feel like a couple of months back, and I did a poll on my ex account, the sexiest female retail workers uniforms, and I just listed them all. I never categorized them from worst to first, and I felt like, you know what, let me do this on my podcast, okay? Now, this list is going to be excluded only to it's exclusively for retail workers. All right. I know a lot of you guys are going to sit up there and say, well, what about females in the nursing profession, or females that are police officers, or females that are in the military? You know, I didn't add them to this category because A, they're not retail workers. And B, there's, you know, content galore for those women in those other walks of life. I felt like I wanted to give a little love to all the female workers out there that's doing their thing in retail. And I don't know, to me, I'm a guy and I notice things. And there's some guys like me that notice things. There's some women out there that be noticing things. And nothing is more noticeable than an attractive woman at work. And nothing's more noticeable than an attractive woman at work. And she knows that she's the attractive woman at the workplace. All right. So I want to apologize to my female audience. If my female audience thinks this is sexist, I apologize. Okay. To the men out there that, you know, are for, you know, that is totally against what I'm about to say, I'm going to apologize to you as well. But let's get into it. I'm just going to give you a list of people that are second on the list. And then I'm going to give you my number one later on. So in no particular order, because this is second. If you're not first, you're last. That old Ricky Bobby cliche line. But, okay, so let's just start it off. First of all, we're going to start off with Walmart. I think the females at Walmart, they be looking good in them uniforms. It's something about that blue and gold. Now, they wear regular clothes. And I think Walmart is a little, I don't think they have a real dress code. Or if they do have a dress code, you know, they obviously the management don't care. And you can clearly tell the Walmart stores that are run by that has a male store manager versus a female store manager. And it's like night and day. I feel like females that are in charge, that are store managers, they enforce the dress code. And they really enforce it to women that wear tight clothes where they want to show their special parts, their special body parts and their special features. I think a lot of women are intimidated because of that, or, you know, jealous because of that, or just simply because they just want to do their job. All right. But I feel like over at Walmart, they're a little lax on their uniform code policy. I'm pretty sure they have a uniform code policy, but basically they just have a blue vest, and you know, yeah, and I think they're Walmart female workers are underrated. They don't get a lot of appreciation, particularly when people mention them on social media. You know, it just seems like people don't even mention them. So I want to mention them. Walmart female workers, y'all be doing y'all thing. Y'all look very sexy in your uniforms, all right? And I give them the two-second glance. I don't stare at them. I don't googly eye them. You know, you can just clearly tell. And, hell, they wear yoga pants. They wear tight jeans, you know. So, yeah. And they wear their... And sometimes you might catch a Walmart worker with not only the Walmart vest, but the Walmart blue shirt. And that blue shirt's always two sizes too small. It's always two sizes too small, all right? But anyway, let's just give it to them, all right? Next on the list is Target. I think Target female retail workers, they have the most sexiest uniforms, but they do it in a classy type of way. If you dig what I'm saying, no matter what Target store you go to, you could tell Target enforces their dress policy. They enforce it, but if a woman wants to wear her pants a size smaller, or her smock, or smock, they have a red shirt. They want to wear that small. That's fine as well. I think over at Target, the female workers over there are sexy, but they do it with a little class, a little elegance. Okay, they're not. They're going to be different from everyone else on the list. They wear khakis. They wear real. And, you know, let's be real out there. Men and women, when you buy khakis, it's hard to get a good fitting khaki. All right. Because not all khakis are created equal. Okay. It's hard to find good khakis. So, you know, I think that they do it with a red shirt. They do it with the khakis. I don't see any. It's the same uniform. It's a red shirt and khakis. I never see a female worker at Target wear blue jeans or darker pants or yoga pants or anything like that. So they're strict over there at Target. They want you to be in the uniform policy. But if you want to, you know, sex it a little bit by wearing your pants a little tighter and wearing your shirt a little tighter, then it's fine. Long as we all look the same, you know, uniform wise. So, yeah, Target, I'm going to put them on the list, okay? The next person I want to put, the next company I want to put on the list is, and like I said, no particular order. And I feel like if you have a Publix grocery store, now, I live in the South. We have Walmart, Target, Publix. I'm pretty sure Publix is not popular everywhere, but Publix workers they're attractive in their uniforms. Now they have different variations. They have the green vest, they have the white blouse, button down blouse. They even have a green polo shirt, but. Depending on what Publix you go to, and you know, a lot of public grocery stores, they're not in urban areas, if you want to use that terminology. They're more so in the casual side of town. Okay. I like the green and the white and the black. But I do feel, and they wear black khakis. This is what I get it from my perspective. I feel like Publix is like the grocery version of Target. It's all one uniform. It's all one type of pants. I never seen, I think they are a little lax with the rules, with the cart pushers and things of that nature. But everyone else in the store, it's a united front with their uniforms. And once again, I will categorize them as being a, you could be attractive, but as long as we're all under one uniform, it's fine. Okay. But I do feel like you can't wear your shirt too tight or your pants too tight. You have to wear the right size pants and the right size shirt. And here's some fun facts about Publix. I don't know if they still do this, but if you work in the meat department or somewhere like in the baking, deli bakery or whatever produce, I think they have a policy. They have a zero tolerance policy of facial hair. So you have to shave your facial hair off. Okay. They like your hair to be neat. They're real strict with their appearance and what you can wear, what you can't wear. They want you to cover up your tattoos. So they're like the Target of grocery, but some of their rules, I mean, I feel like Target is a little bit more lax on their rules and they don't enforce a lot of rules and policies. But I do feel like Publix enforces a lot of rules and policies. And that's why Publix just don't hire anybody. They don't hire anybody that, you know, if you look problematic or if you don't fit the public code, then you're probably not going to be working at Publix. So, yeah, they run a tight ship over there. All right. So next on the list is Kroger. Once again, I live in the South. I know Krogers are not everywhere. When I mention the word Kroger, I'm pretty sure no one knows what's a Kroger. Like if you live out north, it's Albertsons. Never been to an Albertsons, but I do know they have an Albertsons, all right, up north. But Kroger workers are, depending on what Kroger store you go to, they're a little relaxed on the rules. You can wear, now the Kroger store I still go to, it's like up the street from where I live. Like earlier in the summer, they were just allowing the females to wear anything, you know, yoga pants, tight jeans, khakis, you know, anything. Now, recently I've been in there and I noticed those same girls that used to wear the tight fitting clothes, now they're wearing blue jeans and fitted blue jeans. So I don't know if something done changed or they're enforcing the rules. But Kroger used to have a shirt that they give out to their workers. And I've been noticing recently, they just been wearing just black shirts with no logos, no names, no nothing. And it's just all black. And Kroger used to be up there with when they used to have the polo shirts and the vest and stuff like that. Kroger used to be, the Kroger retail workers used to be up. I mean, just Google a Kroger uniform. And whatever you Google is not what they're wearing now. But if I did have to categorize Kroger, I would put Kroger almost at the bottom of the list. Because they have a non-existent uniform. And I think they're starting to enforce the policies a lot. Okay, now I do notice that I see some females and some males that wear like red vests up front, and I can identify who's in charge and who's not in charge by the Kroger blue shirt. Okay. So, when I see that Kroger blue shirt, it looks like a Walmart shirt. It's like navy blue, but it's got the Kroger logo on the side of their sleeve. So when I see that, I instantly know who's in charge of that department. All right. And not everybody wears those shirts. So, Kroger, they used to be ranked up there with the most sexiest uniforms, particularly for females. Not so much, you know, now. I think they're, if I had to rate Kroger, it's probably at the bottom of the list. All right. So, that's it for Kroger. So, Chick-fil-A, when I say a Chick-fil-A uniform, now, they have the red shirt, sometimes it's a polo shirt, but they have those black tight-ass khakis. And I'm telling you, I don't know, when I go through the drive-thru, I see a lot of big booty females, particularly Caucasian women, and they be wearing them tight clothes. They definitely be wearing them tight clothes, all right? So, and they have that gold name badge, right? I feel like out of all the stores I mentioned, excluding Target, I feel like Chick-fil-A's customer service is at an all-time high. I feel like if this was a category of best customer service, I would say Chick-fil-A, then Target, and then Publix have the best customer service, friendly faces and everything. So, yeah, Chick-fil-A workers, they be having them sexy uniforms. And they sort of borderline on enforcing the rules, not enforcing the rules. So I think they allow their female employees to, as long as they have their red vest on, they would have a name badge, and the pants aren't too revealing, then fine. Okay, so Chick-fil-A is on this list as well. The sexiest retail uniforms for females is McDonald's. McDonald's workers, I mean, you know, first and foremost, not a lot of people go into the McDonald's store, because when you go into the McDonald's store, they have those terminals where you can just order your food there. And then once you order your food, you just stand there and wait for the girl at the countertop to give you your food. A lot of people prefer using the drive-thru, and the drive-thru be packed. Sometimes the drive-thru be so packed, it even leaks out on the main road. But you could tell that particularly at the couple of McDonald's restaurants I go to, they pretty much, you know, they still have the uniform with the polo vest or the shirt, but they really don't care what type of pants they wear. You know, I have been in some McDonald's stores where I've seen girls in yoga pants. I've been to, several of them with tight blue jeans. Man, look, there's this light-skinned girl at one McDonald's store. She looks fine as fuck. Her face looks fine, okay? She's got that long hair, don't care. It's her real hair, by the way. All right? And, I think she's cute. And one time, I was going, and I always occasionally talk to her. And when I went through the drive-thru, she said, just park to the side because we're so busy. I bring your food out. I'm like, okay, cool. So she came to my car, and I seen her face. She got that friendly face. I'm like, okay. When I saw her earlier, before we actually started having a conversation, her face would break out on her cheeks, but she's been using something to clear, to fix that. But she still looked fine, even with her face breaking out, okay? And she gave me her, She gave me my food. We talked for a few seconds, and then she walked off because she had to go back to work. And when she walked out, that girl had no ass. Had no ass whatsoever. Still looked good, though, but had no ass. Okay, I just wanted to just, you know, mention that. But McDonald's workers, they have some sexy uniforms and sexy outfits, okay? Sonic, I don't know if Sonic is everywhere, but Sonic used to have some sexy women in there. Not so much now, and it's hard to even find a Sonic store. But Sonic used to have some real attractive women in there. Not so much now, okay? And guys, if there's some retail stores I didn't mention, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. Well, X, formerly known as Twitter, at I'm Chris the Dom 1. You know, DM me or text or tweet me and tell me stores that I have forgotten. Okay. I feel like I've uncovered all the main stores. All right. Now, this is a delivery service. But Amazon workers, they be looking sexy in their little outfits. They have that blue polo top with Amazon written on the back or whatever. And they always wear those tight pants. And they give you, and then they drop your package off. Now, I know one female, she works for Amazon. We talk briefly. But you know, it's hard to spark a conversation with them because, you know, they're always on the go because, you know, I guess, you know, how good an employee is how many packages they drop off and deliver. So, and I said that, and you know, the postal service was not going to be in this category, but I got to show some love for the Amazon workers. Y'all be doing y'all thing. Y'all be working hard, okay? And, you know, a lot of people don't give a lot of love to the Amazon workers. So, particularly the female Amazon workers. So, I'm going to give you guys some love. Okay? I'm going to give y'all guys some shine. Okay? Which goes to my number one sexiest, you know. First and foremost, whenever I go into this building, I can see three or four attractive females, you know, right? As soon as I walk into the building. And I be in heaven when I go in there. All right. I'm gonna explain why. Okay. But the sexiest women in retail has to be Best Buy. Best Buy have the sexiest women on the planet at their, whoever does the hiring knows what a man likes. All right. Real quick story. Going into Best Buy, I was thinking about buying a TV, but I was going to check out all the places and then compare prices and then go home, compare the prices, compare the warranties, and then go back the next day and figure out what TV I wanted, all right? I could have done it on my phone, but I want to go in person, okay? It's just something about going in person to compare, you know, to compare prices and compare sets and things of that nature that you can't get from, you know, going to the website. Anyway, I walked in there, went to the TV section. I saw a television, and then this attractive short black girl came with a fat ass. I mean, she had the fattest of fat asses, okay? The rest of her ass didn't even come around the corner until she got close to me. That's how big her ass was. Sexy as fuck. She was knowledgeable. She was telling me about the different televisions and things of that nature. And then she was telling me that, you know, Best Buy do comparisons. So, like, if you find this set somewhere else, this television set somewhere else, well, this television monitor somewhere else, and it's cheaper there, and if it's cheaper somewhere else, even at another Best Buy store, they will match that price, which I was checking around. Come to find out, Best Buy, this television set I was interested in, was cheaper at this Best Buy location than anywhere else, okay? So I got the television, I got the warranty. I'm thinking that, you know, she's a small girl, This is a big television. And I shouldn't think this way, but that I always think this way. You know, I was going to help her with the television. She said, no, just stay right there. So she's got this two-wheeler. She strapped the television on. And she walked the television with me to the register. We paid for it. We got the warranty and everything. And she took it to my car, put it in the car. So not only y'all, Best Buy, not only y'all got the most attractive women on the planet working for your company, but they're incredibly knowledgeable. Their customer service is at an all-time high, through the roof. And they can put your television in with no help needed. All right. So, yeah, that's a triple double. That's a triple double. So from that interaction right there, plus several other interactions, I'm going to put Best Buy at the top of the tippity top of the list for the best, sexiest retail female workers on the planet. Has to be Best Buy. Has to be Best Buy. Okay. So that's my good story time with Best Buy. I have several bad story times with Best Buy at other locations. We'll talk about that at another time, another date. But yeah, that's my list. Guys, tell me what you think. If I miss somebody, be sure to at me on X. I'm ChrisTheDon1. Follow me there or just send me a tweet and say, hey, man, you got that list wrong. You should have included this one. Or, hey, man, I wouldn't put Best Buy that high. I would put XYZ. Here's why. Just text me. All right. Well, text me. Tweet me. Okay. Do we still tweet if it's called X? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's all I got for this segment. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll break off into the next segment. What up, people? It's your boy, the host with the most. I do not brag or boast. And I'm coming to you guys live from coast to coast. Quick video update, okay? So, guys, I need you guys to do your boy a favor. I need you guys to do a solid. I need you guys to subscribe to Everybody Hates Chris on Spotify. We got to get those subscription numbers up, okay? The more people are subscribed to my Spotify account, Everybody Hates Chris podcast, the more things I can unlock on this platform that I can utilize to the nation, to the Don Squad. Don Squad in the house, stand up. So do your boy a favor, do your boy a solid. Go over, mosey over to Spotify, subscribe to me there, and you can still listen to me wherever you like listening to me, wherever you get your podcast indulgement from, either through Google Play, iTunes, wherever, okay? But please subscribe to me on Spotify. I'm up out of here. Let's get back into the show. Okay, I got some OnlyFans info, some OnlyFans information, OnlyFans news, which, by the way, if y'all thoroughly enjoy this segment and if you want me to talk more and discuss more on OnlyFans, feel free to follow me on X. At I'm ChrisTheDon1. You can either tweet me or send me a DM. Tell me what else you want me to talk about. Just rank my performance on all these episodes. What you think? Do you like it? Do you don't like it? Have you learned something? Or you didn't learn something? Whatever. Okay. Just hit me up on X and tell me. Okay. So I was watching this podcast. And we're going to be talking about several things in this segment. So I'm watching this podcast, and the podcast host had a girl that is successful on OnlyFans. He also had a female that was a lawyer, and some other females that do content on social media. And he basically, and I've heard this this rationalization that people have about OnlyFans, because I think Blueface made it popular, and Blueface once said, if you are taking pictures of your body or and videos, then it's considered prostitution. And I understand the theory, however, it's a theory. But if we use that information for every walk of life, then we will no longer have differences about everything. We'll just rationalize everything is as the same. Imagine living in a world where pretty much half the stuff you like or half the stuff you don't like is the same. You know, I guess if there were two politicians and they were in politics, I guess you can rationalize it and say, well, they're politically the same, even though they have different viewpoints. They may be in the same category, politics, but they have different perspectives, different viewpoints, different arguments. But if you want to classify that as all the same, well, it's politics. They're in the political game. Okay, I guess we can use that rationalization. Like, I watch NBA basketball. I love NBA basketball. I went to NBA basketball games. But I also been to semi-pro games. Basketball games. So with that logic, would all basketball be the same? Because yes, the courts are the same. The ball is the same size. The rim is the same height. The arenas look the same, except one arena is practically full and the other arena barely has 500 people in it. But that's neither here nor there. Can we just rationalize it and say the NBA and semi-pro is the same? Even though they play basketball, that's the only thing, that's the only comparison you can truly say about that. Well, they play basketball. Yeah, but one is clearly gifted and better at it and successful at it, and the other one's not. I'm not saying semi-pro basketball isn't talented, but is it entertaining? You know, not really. It doesn't have the star appeal like NBA basketball does. And there's a lot of things NBA basketball does well that the semi-pro simply doesn't. Okay, but if you want to rationalize it and say that it's all the same, I guess we could use that logic. And when he was having the conversation, he was generalizing everything. First and foremost, what's the conception of bashing females that work, that uses OnlyFans, that works, that does a living on OnlyFans, no matter if it's part-time or full-time? And it's crazy to me how people have this hostility over OnlyFans, people that do content on OnlyFans, and how they try to compare it to a 9-to-5, or try to compare it to a salary job, or try to compare it to being a doctor, or try to compare it to, you know, any other walk of life. And I remember people this is the same terminology people had about YouTubers. Well, I don't think YouTube is an actual job, because all you do is just make videos. That's it. And that's the same generalization that people had about streamers. Well, I, you know, don't think that's a real job. That can't consider to be a real job. Because all you do is play video games or spend 8 hours in front of a camera talking about these subjects. I feel like content creators of every walk of life, when it comes to gamers, streamers, podcasters, content creators on YouTube, TikTokers, Instagram, Snapchat, X, whatever, you know, bloggers, you know, we got to have this kumbaya. We got to stick together, because the general public who is entertained by these different communities, they're entertained by it, but they have a warped type of theory on that this is so easy, anybody can do it, and this is so easy, it's not considered real work. And OnlyFans get hit with this terminology the most. And I know, it's clicks and views. The guy, you know, because there's a large community of people out there that just don't like OnlyFans. Male and female, it doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your economical background, it doesn't matter your political background, whatever. Everyone has this negative theory or this negative warp opinion about females on OnlyFans, that it's not real work, it's not justified as real work, it's not a respectable thing to do. And I remember people used to say that about Twitch streamers. I remember when people used to say that about YouTubers. I remember when people was thinking about when they was you say this about TikTok, podcasters, like anything that that's considered or called entertainment. People that can't, that are entertained by these things, and they don't either have the time nor the talent to do these things, they always rationalize it and dumb it down by saying, well, anybody can do it. Well, if anybody can do it, how come everybody's not doing it? If OnlyFans is that bad, how come OnlyFans have so many people subscribe to their platform? Have so many people, in droves going to OnlyFans? There would be more people going to OnlyFans if they applied a lot of the stuff, like having an engine, an algorithm. If they had an algorithm, do you know how many more people would be going to OnlyFans? You know, but you know, the adult industry is booming. When you look at all these other industries of entertainment, the sports entertainment industry has taken a hit. They've been having valleys, well, mountains and valleys. When you look at streaming is a game, particularly gaming streaming, it's had its ups and downs. The same thing with YouTube, because YouTube is constantly changing their policies and their procedures and how they how you can make money on YouTube. And the ad apocalypse, they still haven't came out from under that. When you look at podcasting is an oversaturated market, and now you're seeing casualties of the podcast war no longer existing. See, the thing is, podcasts, they cease to exist. B. Simone's podcast, those two women broke up. There's been a lot of podcasts. It's just like every day you hear a podcast no longer existing because there's more and more people in this space. And, you know, another thing is, I don't think the audience, the listeners, there's not a lot of people listening to podcasts anymore. You know? So, I feel like all content creators, no matter what your background, needs to kumbaya and hold hands, because what's hot now may not be hot tomorrow. What's acceptable now may not be acceptable tomorrow. But I feel like OnlyFans, females and OnlyFans take the most punishment, because you hear these classic cliche strongman arguments that, you know, women that's on OnlyFans, it's degrading. It's embarrassing that you're on OnlyFans. It's not a real job. It's prostitution. They always point a negative light to OnlyFans. Because there's a lot of women on OnlyFans that are very successful on OnlyFans. And just because you have an OnlyFans account doesn't, you know, people have this misconception that, you know, you're having sex on OnlyFans. There's a lot of OnlyFans out there that do try on lingerie hauls or dress hauls. You have, I think the fitness industry has migrated to OnlyFans, and adult entertainment. The adult entertainment used to be controlled by the studios. It used to be controlled by the studios and the agencies. Now, since OnlyFans has came in, you know, those same content creators, they don't have to be tied down to an agency or be tied down to a production company or a studio. They can do OnlyFans in their home. And make money quick. And two, we're all adults here, right? Because I feel like the demographic of people that are subscribed to OnlyFans are, you know, in their 20s to possibly their 60s. And that's the demographic. It's a mature, older audience. I'm pretty sure there's kids that, you know, slide in there and put the wrong birth date, and they're looking at OnlyFans as well, but they're not supposed to, because OnlyFans is catered to a mature adult audience. And I feel like when COVID hit, it hurt a lot of content creating across the board. It hurt the film industry. It hurt the gaming industry, the sports industry, the news industry. It just stopped them from, you know, doing what they normally do, because when COVID hit, we had all these mandates and things of that nature. We couldn't go out as much. People were fear of getting COVID. And people was taking the vaccine, but you had other people that were against the vaccine, things of that nature. And it affected all of those industries. But you know what? It also affected the restaurant industry. It affected, you know, going to concerts. It affected going to live sporting events. It affected, clubs. Which, that's what we're getting at. Reality TV. But the one place it didn't affect was OnlyFans. OnlyFans started booming. And OnlyFans was here even before the pandemic. And OnlyFans was just going up, up, up. And everybody else was, you know, even the NFL at that moment of time, ratings were suffering. You know, so everyone has this weird perspective about OnlyFans, but I don't feel anybody can do OnlyFans. Just like I don't feel anybody can do Twitch. I don't feel anybody can do podcasting. I don't feel anybody can do YouTube. And it should be considered a job. And there are a lot of people that are on these platforms full time, making an honest living doing it. So to me, if you got this false, warped imagination that OnlyFans is evil, well, maybe OnlyFans is not for you. But OnlyFans is proven every day it's for somebody. It's for somebody, because the OnlyFans audience is not shrinking. It's not going away anytime soon. Matter of fact, OnlyFans is oversaturated with content creating. But it has not diluted the OnlyFans brand like the other industries have. But yeah, that's my two cents on it. You know, let's go into another commercial break. Guys, I need you guys to do me a favor. I need you guys to hook your boy up. I need you guys to support the podcast Everybody Hates Chris on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast indulgement from. And then I also need you guys to do your boy a favor. I need you guys to hook me up by sharing it with your friends, family, as well as your followers. Okay. Let's get this podcast lit in the podcast algorithm. You hear me? Back to the show. You hear me? Okay, so I got a question. Someone DM me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at I'm Chris Down One. DM me, and they said basically, and I wish I had the question in front of me, so I'm just gonna paraphrase. If the person's listening to this, I'm paraphrasing. Basically, they're saying that they've been trying to get research on how to promote their OnlyFans. And they listened to my episode, and they also been watching other people's videos on how, if you're going to promote it on other social media applications, please read the rules and regulations of those applications, because you may be shadow banned, temporarily banned, or permanently banned. Okay. And I talked about this on an episode. Okay. And I explained this to you guys on the episode, but their biggest question is, they have heard a lot of people say the best way to promote their OnlyFans is through Reddit. Now, I have some history with Reddit, and for those out there, I'm going to try to dumb Reddit down. Okay. To make you understand Reddit a little bit more, because people make Reddit sound so easy to do, is easy to promote it this way, this, that, and the third. And they also talked about, they don't really have a lot of time to promote their OnlyFans. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. All right. So let's get into Reddit. All right. First and foremost, Reddit, please do not take this portion of the podcast. What I'm about to say is, don't listen to this and say, okay, well, I give up then. Because if Reddit's all that in a bag of chips, then I don't want to do this. All right. I feel like the first thing to do, when people see a setback, or when people see a wall and they feel like the wall's too high to overcome, they just quit. They just quit while they're ahead. And I feel like that's a lot of people out there. Sometimes y'all mess up your opportunities. So if you're really serious and committed, you got to take the good with the bad. All right. So Reddit has karma. And the only way you get this karma, you can't buy it. Okay. You just can't subscribe to a bunch of people, then you automatically get it. Karma comes by a lot of things. If you comment on someone's post, if that post gets a lot of conversation, if another profile likes your profile and they big you up, you get karma that way. So there's a lot of ways to get karma. Now, when I once was doing Reddit, I could have sworn you could buy karma. All right. And here's why I say don't do that, because everybody that promotes on Reddit their OnlyFans, it's the same thing. They say you have to have the understanding of eventually Reddit is going to ban you, or Reddit is going to terminate your profile because of many things. One, promoting your OnlyFans is not to say that you can't promote OnlyFans on Reddit, but eventually, and the biggest reason is people are going to report you. And these people have OnlyFans themselves, but if they start seeing you get, you getting all this karma, you getting all these people commenting to your post, to eliminate competition there, they start false flagging you. And if you get enough false flags, your account just gets banned. Now, I've heard several occasions where it can get suspended or temporarily banned. I don't know that to be true. I've heard a lot of people say their account has been banned. So when you do a profile, if you do Reddit, you have to understand that that's just the casualties of war. Your account will get banned. But if you really want to commit to Reddit, I suggest make multiple accounts and build those accounts up. And when one falls, you got the others. All right. So that's one way you can do it. That takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time already just managing one account. All right. So you have to understand that going in. Now, there's a lot of women that do OnlyFans, and they hire agencies to do their promotions. And these agencies, they make enough, they have Reddit accounts. So they can literally make a Reddit account for you, and you don't have to do nothing but just sit at home. It costs. They're not doing it for free. Now, a lot of people say you have to be consistently on it. Like, I don't know the magic number of how many posts you have to make on Reddit to stay active on Reddit or to be active on Reddit. I really don't use Reddit. I'm explaining to you why I don't use Reddit. Oh, also, if you have a Reddit account, chances are your friends or coworkers, if they follow you on any social media platform, chances are you done promoted your Reddit on those profiles. You just don't remember. So if you do Reddit, and if you're doing OnlyFans, you have to do everything separately. Unless you cool with people that follow you on these other profiles like Facebook, Twitter. I mean, your real friends, your real family members. They follow you on these other or your YouTube channel. If they follow you there, then but you got some motion on those platforms and you decide to do an OnlyFans. Just know that everybody's going to be in your business in your real world. So chances are your family members are going to know that you do OnlyFans. Chances are your coworkers going to know that you do OnlyFans. So you get what I'm saying? So if you want to have an alternate ego, if you want to have a different personality, then that different personality has to have their own social media accounts. Okay. But if you're going to do Reddit, yeah, you know. Now, excuse me for that noise. Here's why I don't do Reddit. I don't do Reddit because it's time consuming. It is very, very time consuming. I mean, I have my own Reddit that Reddit's linked to all of my social media handles. I rarely get a lot of traffic on Reddit to begin with. You know, I get more traffic on the other social media apps like mine. You know, I get more traffic. Like, for example, I have a YouTube channel and I have a Linktree. And people know me more from YouTube than TikTok or Instagram. And I had to shut down my Instagram page. And I started a new Instagram page almost a year ago, and you know, I'm just going through the motions trying to get it. It's got a little motion, but not a lot of motion. All right, understandably. So, when I was heavily on all of them, even on Twitch, and I rarely got a lot of motion from that site. I don't forgot the name of that site that fast, that quick, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. Okay. I just think, trying to get karma. See, you got to get karma before you can, you know, get any type of motion on that platform. Reddit. That's what we're talking about. Reddit. So that I rarely do Reddit. I rarely do Reddit. I still think the best way to promote your OnlyFans, but you got to do it, you know, cloak and dagger. Like it's winter. She has an OnlyFans, but she has TikTok and she has Instagram. And if you don't know, it's winter. I think she spells it that way. She was on that documentary about OnlyFans. And when she did that documentary, she was getting some motion. But ever since that documentary, she has gotten some huge motion. But that documentary was like 5 or 6 years ago. You can't live off the documentary forever. I think it's on Hulu. If you want to check it out, go on Hulu. She talked about her journey. I think her mother is her agent. And she was, and still is doing OnlyFans. All right. But how she promotes her OnlyFans, she does it very cloak and dagger. Like, when she promotes it on TikTok or when she promotes it on, Instagram, she's just doing TikTok shorts. She's doing Instagram reels. And she's, you know, really telling them to go check out her bio in the description of whatever she's doing. And 9 times out of 10, when people see her, like if you've never been subscribed to It's Winter and she has a TikTok video and it goes viral or gets some motion, you're not 9 times out of 10, you're going to subscribe to it, to her on TikTok. And in her bio is her Instagram. And when you click her Instagram, you know, you can check out her OnlyFans through her link tree. I think her link tree is on TikTok as well. She also does Twitter. But I feel like using X, TikTok, and Instagram can really help your OnlyFans account. Another thing is when you're posting. I feel like posting late at night, particularly if you're trying to move an audience to your OnlyFans, does wonders. Particularly, you know, the kids are asleep. The teens are probably playing Fortnite or whatever. And you got a lot of adults that, you know, go to nightclubs. You got a lot of adults that work at night. You got a lot of adults who are night owls, who just, you know, laying around the house and they got their phone to their side and then they hear that notification on their phone, particularly if they're subscribed to you. I feel like that's the best way to promote. It's either late at night or early in the morning. If you're trying to promote on OnlyFans, all right? But Reddit, if you got the time, Reddit is a good place because Reddit's got an abundance of people that's wanting to buy content or have content. But I feel like X has that as well. But I can maneuver better on X because I know the categories, you know, I know the communities that are trying to buy and sell content. Okay, and it's a knowing thing, and but once you get on Reddit and once you find the right group of people, then you know it'd be just like any other application. But if you're new to Reddit, you never had a Reddit account, I would suggest that you get some information on Reddit before you go full in on Reddit. And Reddit is not like Facebook or Instagram, TikTok, or X. That's the misconception everybody gravitates to. Then when they try Reddit for a couple of weeks, they don't see no motion. Then they give up. And then they think that, oh, the reason why I'm not getting no motion because nobody likes the content. And that's probably further from the truth. I'm just, you know, giving you that game, giving you that piece of advice. Okay. Another woman, we was doing a live stream, and this woman was talking about doing OnlyFans. But she was in her 50s. And she had a 9-to-5 job. First and foremost, she was asking me, you know, she did, will her job know that she has an OnlyFans? And there's an option on your OnlyFans. If you don't want your OnlyFans promoted in the state that you live in, you can do that. Just go into the settings. If you live in Phoenix, just, if you want to block Phoenix residents from checking out your OnlyFans, you know, you can do that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if you live in Phoenix, somebody in Phoenix is still going to know you have an OnlyFans, because I'm pretty sure you're going to promote your OnlyFans to X, TikTok, Reddit, Facebook, YouTube, whatever. Unless you're going, I'm pretty sure there's options in all of those social media applications where you can block your content on those regions if you want to. But I tell this to people all the time. You know, sooner rather than later, when you start getting some traction and getting some motion and start making money, and if you got good content, good product, sooner rather than later, you're going to be found out. So I tell people, hey, look, know this, when you, like, you could be another It's Winter situation where you blow up and everybody knows you. So what you're going to say to people, so you better have your guards up, or you better have something already in the back of your mind that you're going to say to people out there that know you, that finds out that you have an OnlyFans. I don't know why people want to be secretly with their OnlyFans. Now, I understand you have a 9-to-5 job. You don't want to jeopardize your job. But there are a lot of women out there who don't even have 9-to-5. They're just, you know, they're housewives. And I'm not, hey, look, if you are married or you're in a relationship with your significant other, you might as well tell them that you're doing OnlyFans. Because if you can't trust your significant other, who can you trust? So you got to, you know, don't make the OnlyFans get some motion and then say, hey, I got an OnlyFans account. I feel like you should be straight and honest from the rip. Like, hey, and this is male and female. Like, hey, I'm thinking about starting an OnlyFans. I'm thinking about making some little extra money. I guess you can get, like, if you want to call it permission or accepting, you know, because y'all know some guys, you know, and you just say, hey, look, I'm just only doing solo content. I'm not doing it with no other man. I'm not doing it for no other woman. I'm just letting you know that that's what, because I feel like honesty is the best policy. Tell your now your significant other can say yay or nay. And there are some men out there that will say no. Okay. But I suggest don't do nothing secretly. You know, let your partner know. You know, don't, you know, because a lot of people can ruin their relationships on the fact that now it's not the fact that you did OnlyFans. It's the fact that you secretly did something behind their back. So I'm just saying, you might want to let your partner know. All right. But yeah, so this lady, she was in her 50s. We had this conversation and she was talking about, well, I don't know if I can get men to, buy in to me or my OnlyFans. So I was giving her different examples and she was like, talking to somebody either on the phone or in the household. And I can hear the whole conversation because she was talking to me and talking to somebody else. And but we was on and off talking. We were just, you know, shooting the shit, okay? So she was, from what I gathered from the conversation, she helped this elderly man with his medical, signing him up for medical insurance at the workplace because, you know, he's not tech savvy, you know, if you want to phrase it that way. He, you know, he has an inability to do anything on a computer. Okay. So she was talking about, oh, yeah, I had to help him sign up. You know, I went through the process with him. I even, you know, made sure that he had insurance, and then he had insurance. Everything's fine and dandy. And then he said, hey, I appreciate you doing that for me, because you didn't have to do that for me, because HR didn't want to do it for me. Nobody in the store wanted to do it for me. So I tell you what, you can get anything you want. I'll buy anything you want in the store. And she had her eyes set on this air fryer. Now, this air fryer retail for like $100 and some odd. So she got the guy to buy her an air fryer as a gift. If you want to call it a gift, or as, you know, just being there for him. If you want to make it, you know, a kind, lighthearted approach, that's fine. But let's just call it what it is. He's really paying. The real reason why he's buying you that air fryer, because you provided a service for him that he was not getting anywhere else. And that's why, you know, if you don't have confidence in yourself, and if you don't believe in yourself, and you feel like, oh, I can't do this, oh, I can't do that, if you already got these walls up, and you're already making excuses, but you can't utilize nothing in your actual life that you can apply to say, oh, I can do this because I've done something previous like this, and it's kind of similar. And I was telling her, okay, you spent 3 days, not three whole days, but three times you got this man approved for his insurance, and he awards you for your service by giving you $100+ air fryer. Well, OnlyFans is the same way. That's why I was trying to, it took a minute, but she finally got it. She got into the realization, like, whoa, wait a minute. If I can get one guy, if I can give a service to a guy, and a guy gives me $100+ for my service, how come I can't apply that to my OnlyFans? You see what I'm saying? A lot of people put these barriers in front of them saying, oh, I can't do OnlyFans because I'm not technical savvy. I can't do OnlyFans because, you know, I don't know how to work a camera. I can't do OnlyFans because of this. You know, they want to do OnlyFans, but they always giving up reasons why they can't do OnlyFans. All right. And I tell people this. And I told her, I said, you spent not three whole days, but three attempts in 3 days to get him approved for his insurance. And he rewards you with $100+. Stop looking at it as an air fryer. Look at it as service rendered. That's the same mechanisms to an OnlyFans. So if you could do that to one guy, what makes you think you can't do that to five other guys? What makes you think you can't do that to 10 other guys? Or 100 other guys? If you are... because people don't realize, to sell something or to sell your content on OnlyFans, people don't realize the first part of selling something is to establish a relationship with your consumer. You or your subscriber. You want to call them subscribers, that's fine, but they're customers. Establish a connection, a relationship with the customer. You don't have to flirt with them, but establish a relationship with them. And then when you establish a relationship to them, then you say, we're talking back and forth. This is what I do. Here are my packages. If you don't like these packages, you can buy this separately. If you don't want to buy them separately, you can just subscribe to my OnlyFans. It's this much a month. But if you subscribe for a year, you'll be saving X amount of dollars by subscribing to a year. I have the packages. If you just want a certain package, you can just subscribe to that certain package. Okay? Or you can just tip me. I feel like people, not women, they don't realize that the biggest power to a woman is not her beauty, is her talk game. Women, y'all don't realize y'all have some incredible talk game. You know how it's incredible? Because you can talk yourself into something or out of something. That's how incredible your talk game is. And if you can convince yourself to believe one or the other by your talk game, imagine applying your talk game to your audience. Women just think that all I got to do is just stand, just look sexy in front of a camera or a video, stand there, make the content, post the content, and that's it. If you got people subscribed to your OnlyFans, you got to communicate to them at least once or twice a day. Communicate to them what's upcoming. And if you want future customers, it's the same rules applied. It's not a fact that there's men out there that are not buying OnlyFans. Now, you got to choose your time wisely. There are some men out there that just want to. They're okay with the interaction with you. And that's fine if you want to tweet, you know, if they want to reply to something, what they say every once in a while. But you need to focus your time on the men that are willing to buy into your service. Communication is key. A lot of women seem to forget that communication is so important. Communication is one step closer of getting someone to buy into it. So there's more to it than just looking sexy, is the point I'm making. And, ever since it took a couple of attempts. It took a couple of attempts to get her to understand that. But now she understands and she's working on her OnlyFans. Haven't talked to her since then. Another thing is, and I told her this, you got to give people a reason to subscribe to you. And there's different ways for people to subscribe to you. If you have a viral moment that blows up on social media, yeah, that's one way. But that's like a lightning striking twice in the same place. Sometimes it's hard to go viral. I will say I think a lot of people don't do their research. There are so many different types of kinks. There are some kinks that you're not going to make no money on, and there's other kinks that you're going to make a lot of money on. I think a lot of people tend to go to the oversaturated kinks, like the foot fetishes and things that, yeah, there's so many women that's doing foot fetishes. Okay. But there are other kinks in the category that nobody hasn't even gravitated to, or creating your own kink. And I said this, in an episode ago, like Pinky Doll, she did OnlyFans and she was getting some motion, but when she started blowing up doing those NPC things on TikTok, and then when people subscribe to her on TikTok and she has her link tree in her TikTok profile, and then people started clicking that and noticed that she had an OnlyFans, her OnlyFans blew up. So if you have, those are viral moments, or if you create your own lane, and that which what the NPC thing, that was Pinky Doll's own lane. And guess what's going on? People copy success. Now, every woman is doing the NPC thing. Go on TikTok. Every woman is doing the TikTok thing. It's just Pinky Doll does it better. Okay? So, but I feel like if you want some motion, you have to communicate with your audience. Everyone has an audience, but no one knows how to communicate with their audience. And women don't utilize their strengths. I think a lot of women can convince a lot of men to buy into them. Okay? And if you're smart at marketing, particularly marketing yourself, there's more ways to skin the cat. Some, you know, let's just face it. Some guys are interested in you, but they just don't have the money. Well, then you identify what they're able to afford and promote that package. And there's some guys that just want a free ride. Some guys just want the free promotions. Some guys want the free interaction. You have to distinguish who wants to invest in you or just invest in themselves. You need to find the audience that's going to invest in you instead of them trying to invest into themselves, trying to flip the script. Okay, so that's all I got for today's episode. Guys, if you have comments, if you want to talk to me, if you want to tweet me, then hit me up on Twitter. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. So I'll see you guys next week. It's been real. It's been fun. Has it been real fun? I will talk to you on the next podcast. Every Wednesday, I do a new podcast. I'll see you guys when I see you. Deuces, guys. Deuces. Outro. Okay, so we're at the end of the show. I first like to thank everyone who listened to this episode. I really do appreciate that. I like to thank everyone who is sharing my podcast as well as my episodes. No matter if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast indulgement from, I like to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Don Squad in the house, stand up, fam. All right. And I also like to thank everyone who has trickled over to Spotify and subscribing to me there. All right. I talk to you, say this briefly. I need my subscription numbers up on Spotify so I can unlock different things and apply those savings to you guys as far as building a better podcast, as far as getting more listeners to listen to my podcast. Get at me on Twitter at I'm Chris the Dom 1. DM me or tweet me what you thought about today's episode or any episodes. And get at me and tell me what do you want me to talk about? All right, basically. All right, so that's all I got for today's show. I'm here every Wednesday, every hump day. So check me out. I'll see you guys on the next one. Deuces.